sing. How's that? All right. Well, let me just make a couple of announcements before I get started in our word today. This coming Sunday, be sure you mark your calendar, September. How about Sunday the 16th? Next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to be here with our other churches that we've connected with. We're going to have our fellowship service. And so it's at 6 o'clock, Texas House of Prayer and Grace Family Church with Brother Larry, and then Grace Point with Brother Marty. And so it's going to be a wonderful time. And I plan to be here. We're going to have food afterwards. We're going to feed everybody down in the gym afterwards. And it doesn't get dark now till close to 8 o'clock, a little after, so you'll have time. But plan now. It'll be a wonderful time. This place will be full of kids. They bring all their kiddos, and you wouldn't know there was a one in the house because I bragged on them the last time they were here. I said, I didn't hear anything. All these kiddos? They said, well, we warned them before we walked in. So... But it was a sweet time, and it'll be again this coming Sunday. And I don't like the time change. It got to get used to it. I miss my extra hour, I'll have to tell you. And then we'll be talking about it continually here for the next couple of Sundays. Sunday the 30th, the last Sunday of the month, we're going to have a time of church fellowship. Sister Tara, I think, got us going on that. And going to be at the Cleburne Bowling Alley from 1 to 4, right after church on the 30th. And so all your families that can come and want to be a part, plan on that. They'll have the food there, $18, I think, person or something. I don't remember what that. But anyway, it's going to be a fun time. Going to be just a wonderful time in that. Brandon, you had a awesome word last Sunday. Amen. Blessed beyond measure. So we are blessed. Amen. Thank you, Brandon, for that word. Timely message, and awesome. And after he got through, he did such a good job. I bought his lunch, and you never know where we went, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, you know. And so anyway, we had a good time. So there. Amen. 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 And this week we're not making a big deal of it, but it really is a big deal. New Life Ministries has been in existence for 30 years. Amen. 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 And we started in March of 1995 up in Fort Worth in the apartment that we were in. It was a townhome. Started in our living room, and then we filled that up, moved into the garage, put a big carpet piece down on the floor of the garage, and went to Sam's, bought brown aluminum chairs and sat in there. Put a fan in there, and we had our acoustic guitar and Darlene's tambourine. And so we had church. Amen. And so in the summer of 95, the door opened for us with one of the families that had bought the old Nike missile base out here off of 1807 on the north side of the road. It was not the ones where the buildings are at, but it was on the north side where all the buildings are. And so they offered that to us. We moved out there in the summer of 95. We had our home. We had our school. We had our church. A wonderful thing. These old buildings, and they were fixing them up. And one of the buildings we met in, they were refurbishing for their home, our friends that have the property. And so it had no windows in it. And so on a cold, windy October, Brother and Sister North visited for the first time and never looked back. So Brother Charlie was with us, been there with us, and so and our kiddos. You were there. Okay. Okay. I'm telling you, it was a wonderful 10 years out there on the property. And Brother Gary, he can tell you his encounters with the Lord out there. It was a wonderful testimony that he has. And Sister Cherry came and visited us, and we baptized her outside. And never forget, she didn't go down under the water the first time, and so we dunked her a second time to make sure she was covered, because we believe in immersion. And so the full thing. And so we baptized a lot of our kids out there, and had a wonderful, wonderful time. And the Lord led us then in 2005 to close our school, and we moved back into town over into the community center for a little while. And then Brother and Sister Ponce, pastors of Templo Nueva Vida, that's New Life Temple, same name, they offered their church building to us then for the next three or four years. And we had church at 3 o'clock. I know that's a hard time to have church. Nobody wants to come to church at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But we learned a lot, and we survived, and we made it. And we thank God for Brother and Sister Poincy, dear friends, they opening their doors to us. And then in 2011, this door was opened here, and we moved in here in October of 2011, and we are here today. So a lot of water under the bridge. Amen. Amen. So God is good. God is good. Oh, my gosh. Well, today's message, I believe, will be impactful if you'll receive it for yourself. This message, you've heard it preached on 1,000 times. Other people, other ministries, I've spoken on it at times through the years on this particular subject. It was not what I had planned on. I don't start on Sunday afternoon like Sister North does, thinking about the next Sunday. I kind of take a break on Sunday afternoon. And I don't do this, but one pastor, somebody asked a pastor, a big mega pastor, says, "What do you do after church on Sunday? How do you relax, you know, when you get home from a big service?" He says, "I watch a violent movie." So, well, I don't do that, you know. I don't make that a habit, how's that, you know, of doing that. I do relax. And so, but come Monday on into Tuesday, I start thinking, because it's going to come fast. I already thinking of praying about the following Sunday. And so I had some ideas of what I felt. And Tuesday night, I had a dream on the subject I'm speaking on today. And so Wednesday morning, I took that as for myself. And so I dealt with the issues in my own self in that. But I also continued working on what I thought was be the message for today. And Thursday night, I had another dream on this subject today. And Friday morning, as I normally every other Friday, Pastor Steve Howell and myself, we try to get together and fellowship and at the Starbucks for a couple hours. And so Friday morning, I was excited. I was telling him what I'd been working on. And so when we get ready to leave each Friday, or when we do meet, we ask each other, "Well, what's on your agenda for the rest of the day?" And so we'll share. And I said, "Well, I'm going home to finishing up on my message for today." And so I get home on Friday at noon, a little after. Get in my recliner, put my pillow in my lap, put my laptop computer in my lap, and began to work on my message for today. And 3 hours later, it had not come together. So, you know, by now, after 30 years, I should know, you know, that maybe there's something else that God has. So I surrendered. Okay, I surrendered. I said, "Okay, Lord, it's 5 o'clock. I need to know something. I need to do so." I obeyed. How's that? I obeyed. So let's go into this and see what God has, okay? from Luke chapter 23, two verses, 33 and 34. And this is for somebody today. This is for somebody today. Might be listening online at a later time. But and when the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of God's divine forgiveness. God's divine forgiveness. Let me begin with a statement that I read this week from a very famous person. And that's going to set the stage for this message. And this was, and you'll know this person. Her name is Brenda North. And she every week she sends out an email to the singers and musicians of the proposed songs that she's, if the Lord doesn't change it, it's what they can look over and practice or whatever for the week. And so I get a copy of that. And she always puts an inspiring word in that email, as she does on Sunday mornings with a text to all of us that are in the musicians and the singers and stuff. And very inspiring every Sunday morning. I look forward to it. And so she did this, and in the body of her email, she said, here's what she wrote. "We are imperfect humans serving a great big God that loves us unconditional." My goodness, aren't you thankful for God's unconditional love to us? No strings attached. He loves us unconditional, y'all. Do you realize what that it means? Where were we when He found us? What pit were we in? Not just physically, but mentally, maybe, spiritually, that He found us. And what really jumped out at me was this. We are imperfect humans. And guess what? We are. We are. Especially when it concerns forgiveness. And you got to understand, forgiveness may not be necessary among perfect people or for perfect people, but it is absolutely essential to those with wisdom who are willing to admit, watch this, that they are imperfect. That they are imperfect. You see, even on our good days, even with the best of intentions, guess what? We're going to mess up. And we're going to say something or do something that will either hurt or offend somebody. Amen. Am I the only one that happens to? I'm sure it is. And so as imperfect people, guess what? We all need forgiveness, Sister Norton. You were so right on. And especially from our Creator, just to be reconciled with Him. And once we are reconciled to God, He tells us from the Scriptures to extend that same forgiveness to others that He extends to us. Now, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, then we have to admit that it can be a difficult assignment for imperfect people. Can you say amen? It can be difficult forgiving some. Amen? But watch this. There is a secret source of strength in forgiveness from which comes the potential to accomplish great things for those with eyes to see and a will to obey. I want to see and I want to be able to obey. Amen? We need to be obedient to His voice. Need I remind us today, we live in a world that is filled with a terminal disease called sin, for which there is no cure except by God's divine forgiveness. And it is one of the vital components of salvation. Without forgiveness, there is no hope for any of us. You've got to realize that. And once we receive God's grace and His unconditional love, then it should remain in our blood, it should remain in our hearts, and it should remain in our way of life. We can say then that forgiveness is one of the fruits that provide proof that Christians are changed people. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruit." And as we go back and ponder this portion of Scripture that we read as our text today, listen, we really can be thankful that Jesus was not just merely speaking to the profane and the perplexed who gathered around the cross that day over 2,000 years ago. You see, those words from the Savior's mouth exploded, if you please, in both directions on the timeline of humanity. The forgiveness that He offered carried the potential to forgive and cover the sins of every human being who ages prior to His brutal death on the cross. And it also carried forward in time to forgive all the sins of man until the victorious second coming of Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And guess what? He is coming soon. He is coming soon. And the only catch then to this miracle is that each person, watch this, each person must admit their need for forgiveness and choose. Everybody say choose. Each person has to choose to receive it from Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. Forgiveness cannot be forced upon the unwilling, nor can it be forced upon the heart of someone by our own human effort. True forgiveness is a product of heaven alone. When Jesus spoke the word forgive, I believe the hordes of hell were bound. And just imagine with me for a moment that Satan felt his first chill, signaling his miserable defeat. Within 3 hours, we find in the Bible, the suffering was complete and the Lord Jesus announced that His job was done. Unseen hands then grasped the heavy woven veil separating worshipers from the Holy of Holies in the temple. And it ripped it down the middle from the top to the bottom, which was a feat that was impossible for any mortal man. And if we follow then the steps of mercy on that particular day, we find that as she passed through the rent veil of Herod's temple, she made her way out to the cross to touch a repentant thief on one side of Jesus. And then reaching down to transform the heart of that one centurion, directing the other Roman soldiers at the foot of the cross. Continuing on then to Jerusalem's silent graveyards to kick open several tombs so certain departed saints could enjoy an early resurrection and revisit their shocked loved ones in the city. Can you imagine that? A knock on the door and it's your auntie from 5 years ago. She's knocking on the door wanting to come in. Wants to know what's for breakfast or supper or whatever. You can read this story for yourself in Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 51. It's there. Finally, mercy dove into hell and wrestled back the keys from the devil himself and came out triumphantly, shouting the words which John recorded for us in Revelations 1:18. Here's what he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." symbolizing that Jesus had full power and authority over death and hell and the grave. Let me ask, can we really comprehend then what was released into the universe when Jesus said the word forgive? We have to realize today that we must all come into the presence of forgiveness. But why is that? Why should we even examine such basic truths as this? Well, here's the answer. Because it is possible and probable that many in church congregations around the world enjoy what they would call the culture of church without ever being changed by an experience with God. Can I tell you it's the same way in this church? Folks come and enjoy the culture of church. Well, I went to church this morning. Well, that's good. And I may or may not come next Sunday, I don't know. And they never have an encounter with the live God. Never have that experience with Him. Listen, there's nothing that we could ever say or write to describe the transforming, cleansing power of an Almighty God. Amen. The only way to experience it is by receiving God's forgiveness for yourself. And watch this. And then passing it on to others. It is there in God's forgiveness that we find new life, Sister North. We find new hope. We find new joy, Brendan. We find a new way of living. We find a new way of thinking. We find a new way of talking, Sister Linda. When Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them," His words reached back in time to enfold the entire history of man. It also covered the present world of His day and reached ahead then to the world that would exist after His return to heaven. And now more than 2,000 years later, we are also covered with His divine forgiveness and His pardon. That's something to be happy about. The day God forgave, listen, flesh was affected. Angels were affected. Hell was affected. The demons were affected. And the power of the devil himself was bound. Listen, no matter how bad one's life has been, now I need you to hear me in this. No matter how bad one's life has been, the river of God's forgiveness will flow again into the heart that has, by all outward signs, has become cold, has become bitter, has become filled with hardened valleys when they come into the presence of forgiveness. Amen. It will flow again. And it's here today. And it's available for every one of us. When forgiveness is present, the enemy of our soul, listen, has to back up without a word being said to us. His hands are tied. You've got to realize that. And he cannot work in the presence of forgiveness. Have you ever heard someone ask this? Or you may have asked this question yourself. How can I forgive someone who doesn't ask for forgiveness? Well, our answer should be very simple. It should be this way: ask Jesus. Because, see, when we look at the Calvary, we don't find it recorded where anyone was kneeling, looking up at the cross. We don't find anybody looking for forgiveness. But He said, "Forgive them anyway." No one asked for it. No one negotiated for it. The battle-hardened Roman soldiers driving those nails and the hard-hearted religious hypocrites who put the Lord into the hands for execution could have cared less at that moment whether he forgave them or not. The word forgiveness did not come up in their conversation. Listen, the cross should always remind us that forgiveness is not cheap. Amen. Forgiveness is not cheap. The kind of forgiveness that Jesus brings into our lives, watch this, triggers radical reconstruction of the human heart. When forgiveness is released, something incredible happens. Stay with me. The hand of God shattered boundaries in every direction and every dimension through the power of release when Jesus forgave. And as I share this message with you today, if you're under the sound of my voice, and either watching or listening to this at a later date, I pray that the Lord will bring any and all forgiveness that is hidden in the crevices of your heart that has not been dealt with and that still maybe smolders like an ember, that He will bring it up so it can be dealt with once and for all. This is your day. This is our day. Don't let this opportunity pass you by this morning. Understand, every one of us must deal with certain circumstances in life that cannot be changed. Do you realize that? You can't go back. I can't go back and change those things. When we look at the life of Simon Peter, that fisherman, don't you think perhaps he wished he could have borrowed the education of the Apostle Paul? But he would always be remembered as just Peter from Galilee. Uneducated, a fisherman. And for centuries, Christians have remembered Peter as the man who was unlearned, but who, as Acts 4:13 tells us, he astounded the teachers of the law, who took note, the Bible says, that he had been with Jesus. Woo! Jesus even transformed the life of Mary Magdalene, the prostitute. But don't you think she still probably wished that she could undo mistakes and the pain of her past? Yet she couldn't change the past. In fact, she faced the same choice that we all face today. She could choose to remain a slave to unforgiveness by clinging to her anger and clinging to her resentment toward the men who had abused her and hurt her and the people who rejected her. Or she could accept God's forgiveness, choose to forgive, and begin a new life of freedom. And we know then from Scripture, we made the right choice. Thank you, Lord. But what about us? What about you? I've mentioned this before. There are preachers out there who have made terrible choices through the years. And now with the way social media is, we've heard all about it. And guess what? Yes, they're going to stand before God and give an account for their lives. And so will politicians. I'm just going to add that. So will politicians. Yet they don't tell us much about the other 99% who are doing the work of God in a mighty way each and every day. But we hear only about the ones who fail. And if we're not careful, then we find that disappointments with one leader can rob us of relationships with others. So what do we do in a case like this? The answer is we forgive each other. Listen, you cannot live in the bondage of disappointment for your entire life. It'll destroy you. Your relationships may have ended bad. It might be that you were hurt, You were rejected. You were abandoned. And now you think that person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. And guess what? That may very well be true. But I want to remind us of a very important, vital scripture principle that Jesus gives us from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. You are only forgiven as you forgive others. You're only forgiven as you forgive others. If you cling to unforgiveness toward another person, you are robbing yourself of your own forgiveness from God. Remember, forgiveness toward others doesn't come naturally. It comes supernaturally. It's not like resentment. If we are like every other human being on the earth, guess what? It just comes natural to our flesh. We never have to work up at being resentful. When resentment rises up, most often it comes without even thinking about it. It's virtually instant. Forgiveness, on the other hand, takes a conscious choice, an effort on our part. Our job, then, as born-again Christians, is to work at keeping a good attitude. We have to work at keeping a right spirit. We have to work at keeping a pure heart before God and other people. And yes, sometimes it's absolutely hard to do that. In fact, it will be impossible unless we learn to forgive and make right choices along the way. Many Christians deal with another problem that is described in this one statement. Well, I just can't forgive myself for what I did. Did you know that's a biggie? You have to realize when one makes that statement, sadly, they are really saying, Jesus, what you did on Calvary is not good enough for me. Let me remind us today that once we have confessed our sins and found Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are transformed into a new creature, and the guilty person within us dies. That's something to shout about. From that moment on, listen, if you cannot forgive yourself, it really is an insult to Calvary itself. Listen, if Almighty God forgives us, who do we think we are to say we cannot forgive ourselves? Are we higher and mightier than God then? No. Are we smarter than He is? No. But that is what our words and our actions imply. The Bible tells us in John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, woo, you shall be free indeed. Let me encourage you today to accept God's forgiveness and forgive yourself. I'll tell you, at my 70 years of being young, Sister Judy corrected me after church last Sunday. 70 years young. I'm not bald. I just don't have as much hair as Brother North has, okay? I'm not fat. I'm just stout, okay? Amen. Thank you, Sister Judy. I'm trying to change my wicked ways, okay? Oh, my gosh. And I'm sure I've done this through the years. It's just been a long time. I just can't remember. I'm sure I have forgiven myself. But you know what? This message was so ingrained in me this weekend that at 4:30 this morning, which was really 3:30, that's why I'm tired, I guess, I was sitting in my recliner and asking, Lord, I had to forgive myself. Again, probably. We all have to do that. Why? Because we really are in a new season of our lives. You've got to know, in 2025 here, we have not walked this way before. Amen? So can I just tell you, forgive yourself? Oh. And if the enemy ever throws something back in your face, and he will, just say to the devil's face, and I've said this before, I thank God you keep reminding me of that, devil. I have been forgiven. Praise God. You can remind him of that. Receive forgiveness. Forgive others. And forgive yourself. And then there is a strange law in the Old Testament that few people ever study until the topic of forgiveness comes up. God delivered the law of remission to Israel. We find it in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15. It required Israel to proclaim a complete and generous release of Hebrew debtors, servants, and indentured slaves. Every seventh year this happened, even if they had been in bondage for only a year or less. Those in bondage had to be released and their debt or their service as a slave remitted, whether they had not paid, whether they had paid their back their debt or not. Not only were they to be released, this their owners could not send them away empty-handed. They had to generously provide for them from their flocks, from their grain, and even their food supplies. And this is the results that takes place by a simple act of forgiveness. Now, it was God's way of preserving the life and the hope of those in bondage back in the Old Testament. But we're not under the Old Testament. Today, we have the finished work of the cross and the shed blood of Jesus, who is our Redeemer. And this is how the Spirit of heaven uses forgiveness to remove the hiding place of demonic activity within our souls. Listen, when forgiveness flourishes, in our spirit man, resentment is removed. But watch this, where forgiveness is rare, remember that's where resentment and hatred and bitterness thrive. Again, in the season that we're in, it's time to forgive the debts and the wrongs done to us of decades past. We really cannot afford to say no to that. We're too close to the return of the Lord to be holding on to offenses, to be holding on to hurts and unforgiveness. Deal with it now, because you don't want to carry those things into judgment when you stand before Almighty God to be judged. Guess what? It'll be too late then. That's why I, if not daily, I do it almost every time I can think of it. Lord, help me deal with this stuff today. I don't want to take it into judgment. Deal with me. Show me how to take care of this. Another group of people have imprisoned themselves in a cage of their own thinking. Watch this, clinging to their anger over circumstances in their lives, which they cannot change. It doesn't matter whether the anger is directed at God or parents or even the medical community or even fate itself. Listen, when we sow unforgiveness, guess what? We're going to reap a harvest of grief. We're going to reap a harvest of grief. And mature Christians understand that some problems in life just can't be solved, and they can't be removed in the natural. So what happens? It's our task then is to seek God for the grace to go through it in spite of our circumstances. Are you hearing me that with that? The Apostle Paul, who authored many of the faith passages in the New Testament, he put it this way in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. and having done all, to stand. We have only one choice and one declaration as followers of Christ faced with unchanging circumstances. Here we go. I forgive, even if I'm never asked. I forgive. I'm not going to keep taking score. Listen, we will find ourselves messed up if we operate in anything but God's dimension of unconditional love. We have to forgive, regardless of who is right or who is wrong in that situation. You've got to know that. We must forgive because we must have the power of God in our lives. Unforgiveness will clog up your spirit. God works, yes, through imperfect people. But if you've got something there clogging it up, you can't get through it. You got to deal with it. Remember, Jesus set the divine example for us when he prayed from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And I love to, and I've shared it in the past at different times, I love to hear the reports of revival springing up all across the world. Why do you suppose, let me ask this, why do you suppose it seems that most persecuted countries on earth, and there's a lot of them, why so many of them are experiencing the greatest revivals? Where we see many spirit-filled pastors are put in jail, they're beaten, they're persecuted, their saints are put in jail. Many have even witnessed their own families being murdered before their eyes. But they continue to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And in spite of such persecution, hundreds of thousands have come to know the Lord in these situations. Why do you think that is? How does that happen? Because as Christians living under such threats, they could not survive if they did not get up every morning and say, "I forgive this system. I forgive these soldiers. I forgive this government. I forgive these circumstances." And it is said that they will tell you that a tremendous power surge of the Holy Spirit accompanies a spirit of forgiveness. It gives them then the grace to stand and to fight and to win another day in spite of seemingly impossible circumstances. Brother Tony sent me this video this week of some students in the state of Ohio, there at Ohio State University, where just recently nearly 2,000 kids responded to the gospel and surrendering their hearts to the Lord. They said it was so bitter cold outside, but they had U-Haul pickup trucks set up out there, or U-Haul trucks with the swimming pools in them, and they were out there baptizing them out there in the cold. It was awesome as we see revival come into our nation and to our youth. So when Jesus comes into our lives, guess what? He brings divine forgiveness with him, and he equips us with the ability to survive. But we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit of forgiveness. And if we want to walk in the power of his might, remember that the supernatural power of the mediator was released in the world when he prayed, "Father, forgive." Well, let me ask, are you looking for hope today? Are you seeking the missing link that will bring release into your own circumstances? Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God is waiting to release you today if you will forgive. If you will forgive. Don't let the excuse of your flesh or your mind distract you from what is the most important thing right now. You may be thinking, "Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I've been so wronged. And my response lovingly would be, well, who hasn't? But life has dealt me, Pastor, a bad hand, and you got to know I was lied to. I'm so sorry. Yet you have to understand you're not the first one and won't be the last. Well, those who were supposed to have been my friends forsook me. And guess what? They all forsook Jesus and they fled. Brother Galen, would you come on down? We're finishing up here. As we end today, the way to receive help is to ask the Lord to help you. Help us to forgive and release those people or those circumstances that have hurt you. Ask Him to forgive you for every sin and failure in your life, and then you forgive yourself. Remember, we serve a faithful God, and He is faithful to forgive us. John records Jesus' words this way, "The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." Let me encourage you to accept God's forgiveness today and experience that relief that only comes from God. Our love, our lives then will be flooded with power if we can only forgive. Forgive and avoid getting caught up even in the numbers game of forgiveness, like we find where Peter did. Matthew 18:21 talks about Peter asking, "Well, Lord, should we forgive maybe up to seven times?" And the Lord said, "I didn't say seven times. How about 70 times seven? That's 490 times. Jesus was basically saying, "No, Peter, you've missed the spirit of forgiveness. Don't try to put a calculator on it. Don't try to put your measuring stick on it, on forgiveness and on God. Forgive them 70 times 7 if necessary." You see, Jesus, we find, kept raising the bar on forgiveness until no one could reach that limit. Can I just tell you, forgiveness is a full-time job. Amen. In fact, forgiveness is really a lifestyle for us as believers. Don't try to keep score. God is adamant when He tells us repeatedly in His Word to forgive others. So the question that I have for us today, do you want to live a life of victory? Do you want to live a life of victory? Are just one of continual defeat? How is it possible? It's called forgive, 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 and keep on forgiving. And as Galen plays softly, just as you're doing, brother, and as you remain seated for just a few more minutes, I want to pray a prayer. And I'm going to declare this prayer over all of us. So, as you're sitting there, would you close your eyes with one another? Close your eyes, your head bowed. And would you take one of your hands and place it on your heart? And would you take the other hand, just lay it in your lap, open, like you're in a position to receive something. One hand on your heart, and one in your lap, open as if you're going to receive. And I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to read it. Dear Lord Jesus, we worship You right now. And we come to You acknowledging our need. We ask for Your presence to come down and help us. We want to give gifts of forgiveness to those who've hurt us and those who don't deserve it. Right now, dear Lord, we choose to forgive the ones who have hurt us and done us wrong. We forgive mothers and fathers. We forgive brothers and sisters. We forgive husbands and wives. We forgive employers. We forgive co-workers. We forgive pastors and friends and everyone who has ever done us wrong. We give to them right now the gift of unconditional forgiveness with no strings attached. They now owe us nothing. We trust you, Lord, to turn this for our good. We now forgive ourselves for our own failures and for our own mistakes. We let it all go right now. We confess our sins. We have judged those that we have mentioned in anger and in bitterness. Lord, our desire is to be free. Forgive us now for dishonoring our loved ones and all the others by harboring unforgiveness. Forgive us for becoming a part of the problem rather than the solution. Right now, we break the hold of the enemy over our lives. Come on, do it now. Break that thing. And sweet Holy Spirit, bring to our minds whatever specific issues you want to bring up so we can forgive specifically and repent specifically. We can do that right now. He's doing it right now. You got to know that. He's showing you right now. There may be some things. I had to deal with it at 4:30 this morning. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Listen, let Him do a new work in you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, Your grace really is sufficient for us. And now Your Word says, whatever we loose now on earth is loosed in heaven. So we loose it now into Your capable hands. Lord, I loose it and I put it into Your hands. Now, would you just look at me? Would you say this after me? And now from this moment on, from this day forward, Lord Jesus, we give you permission to move powerfully in our lives in a brand new way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you